Hello and welcome back to Millennial 8. This is now the, I think, the sixth night, and I have four streams for you. In 2 hours from now, it will be The Woodlander, then Paul Fahrenheit, and then Richard Wollstonecraft. But first, and I should say Computing Forever had to cancel, and also Blair Cottrell, something came up, so I'm trying to reschedule him, but we'll see. We'll see if that happens. But nonetheless, there are four streams tonight. And first of all, it's Liv from White Date. White Date was a website that was set up quite a few years ago. And I believe Liv appeared on Millennial 11. I can't remember what year it was. Let me just check. I can tell you. Yes, it was 2018. So, welcome back, Liv, from White Date and now White Deal and White Child. So, welcome to Millennial.
Thank you for having me at your super show. I'm very glad to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. Why don't you tell people about, first of all, White... We'll go through the websites individually. To tell people about White Date and the history of it, and what it is, so what they can find there.
Well, White Date is a website for white people only. It is racially exclusive, which nowadays is not that much of a shocker because there are racially exclusive dating sites all over the web and all over the planet, for Indians, for Chinese, for Japanese, all ethnicities, all races have their own dating sites. Jews have dozens of dating sites. So this dating site I created in 2017, or started, because I thought, oh, there's a white genocide going on. I heard about it and we need a solution. So as I'm a project manager for websites, I started to create this site, and since then it has been developing. There are over 8,000 people have signed up. We filter very, very drastically because there are a lot of trolls and spammers and prostitutes who try to join, and also non-whites, obviously. So there's a lot of work to do to keep this club exclusive. And the same applies for White Deal. It is a freelancer platform for white freelancers only, who can cater to white and non-white clients. And this platform has been developing very slowly because, well, the funds are limited and advertising is not allowed for pro-white business in an anti-white world. We all know that. I don't need to go into details. I mean, Google blocked us. Google hid our search results for obvious keywords such as white dating or working with whites. So we all try to promote these websites by word of mouth and on going through social media a little bit and a few banners. So it's not a lot of promotion going on. It's rather word of mouth. People invite other people. So I have had a huge problem with White Deal this year because it was downed by an American server. We can maybe talk about this later. And well, at the same time, Child was launched, or is in the process of getting launched. And this is a website also for the idea of bringing white children into this world by using alternative options, such as sperm donation and egg donation, but also adoption, and to build white families using reproduction medicine, but also using the possibility of adoption. Voila, these are the three websites we are working on and trying to promote.
Excellent. Well, we can talk more about each one. White Date is, I remember it being controversial. And as you say, it perhaps seems less controversial now. But do you think that the general public today find it less controversial? Do you think the general public are more at home with the idea of a racially exclusive dating website? Or do you think they're as shocked by it as ever? Obviously, yeah. Shouldn't be. As you say, other groups, other ethnic groups can do this. I mean, I remember seeing on the London Underground, there was an advert for a thing, Muslim dating. And it said something like there are, let's say 500,000 Muslims in London. What are you waiting for? Right? And that was an advert for a Muslim dating website. And it's like completely out in the open. Now, you can say that's religious, not racial or ethnic. I suspect I would suspect in the vast majority of cases, they will stay there with their own ethnic group as much as the religion. But then, as you say, there are dating websites for Black people, for Chinese, everything. But when you created White Date, that was viewed as shocking and why don't you tell the story and then we'll get to the present day.
Indeed, it was shocking for many. And the first people who signed up were certainly pioneers, vanguards, really courageous people, mostly men in the beginning. And mostly men sign up. And the ratio of the signups is disequilibrated, 1 to 10 or 1 to 12. But in usage, it is more equilibrated. It's 1 to 3, 70% of the users, of the daily usage is by men, and 30%. Two to three, actually. So it is more equilibrated. So I just wanted to say that it is controversial. The women do not sign up very easily, but when they sign up, they interact quite regularly with men because they also have a plan in their mind. They want to build a family. They want a race-conscious man and a man who has actually the courage to express his views. And so they find each other on this platform, which I think is a beautiful thing. And I've heard of some members who congratulate me or who thank me for having built this website because they found each other, they got married and have had children. So this is really the best news for me.
I can actually empathize with that because not many times, but maybe three times that I can remember, people have said to me that they have found their spouse through my channel, through the chat group on Telegram or on Skype in the old days, or on YouTube in the old days, and they now have a child. or in another case, they were together, but they decided to have children because of my channel. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm just saying this because it's relevant to what you're saying. That is actually the most tangible thing for me. You know, when people say that my work has helped them or has changed their life, I always find that rather difficult to believe. I can't accept it for some reason. But when they tell me there is a child existing in the world, a child
because of you,
yeah, yes. that's much more tangible, and it's like, oh my god, that is actually real. I actually have had an effect, and I'm sure that you've had this feeling as well.
Yeah, you should accept the glory. It is the most beautiful feeling. It's the most rewarding information one can get if people really make it to a stable relationship and build a family with one or several children. This is our goal. We have goals, right? And we offer this the safe space for men and women to interact. This is all they need because they don't have the safe space in the real world anymore. They cannot go to parties and talk about how important it is to have white children with blue eyes or with light eyes or whatever features they desire to procreate. It is a very frowned upon when people talk about their own race. I mean, not dog races or frog races or whatever. The human race is a taboo as a subject.
Well, only for whites. I mean, I can remember the BBC running an article about Freddie Mercury came from an ethnic group called the Parsi people. He wasn't actually white, or he certainly wasn't European. He was from, a part of India, and it was the Parsi people. And the BBC ran this article saying that the Parsi people are in danger of going extinct. And I remember thinking, if it were any white group, these same people, the same journalists would be saying, well, what difference does it make if an ethnic group goes extinct? But as soon as it's a non-white group or a non-European group, well, that is, suddenly it matters. And of course, in the animal kingdom, this is a cliche, you know, everyone said this, lefties, liberals, environmentalists will get very worried about some rare animal species possibly going extinct or being on the endangered. There's even a scale of levels of endangerment. And but with us, it's nothing. And of course, what they would say is, well, there is no danger of white people going extinct. But that's dishonest, because everything is being done to make it as likely as possible.
Mm. Yes, this is why we need to bring this subject to the attention of a broader audience. We need to normalize the idea of, but not the idea, but the term white genocide and white extinction and the danger, and that we have the right to survive and defend our interest as a racial group. So, you said people were too afraid, and nowadays, yes, it is true. There is a little opening of the Overton window, which I can notice since the beginning. In the beginning, it was very hushed and nobody talked about it. But right now, even in real life, I've met people who mentioned it, but I do not talk about the subject in real life with people I just meet, because nobody knows what I'm doing, and I'm not.
Yes.
I'm not telling it, so it's very secret what I'm doing. Everybody, well, they have no idea what I'm doing. Actually, I think I'm doing some websites or something, but So I keep it very secret, also in my real life, because I don't think it is of benefit that I have Antifa in front of our door.
Of course not. Of course not. There was a period when when people in the movement tended to say that we should just be open and shameless. Why should we be ashamed? And we should dox ourselves and so on. I think the only reason to dox yourself is to preempt the enemy doing it to you. Other than that, it doesn't actually serve any purpose, and it might make things more difficult for you. It might make things a lot. I mean, it might really hurt you and those around you. So I don't advocate people self-doxing. And I think it's perfectly, because we are this is a real situation, you know. If it were a physical battlefield, nobody would be saying, yeah, just walk out in front of the enemy. Be brave. Show them you're not afraid. brave the hail of bullets. Obviously, that would be insane. But that, you know, being careful doesn't mean that you're ashamed. I think that's a very important thing to say here.
Oh, yes, certainly. It's not because I'm ashamed at all. I'm very proud of what I'm doing. I'm very proud of what you are doing, of what all the people you interview are doing. I think this is a historic movement of vanguard people, and I'm really excited to be part of it. But I think we need to be strategic. As you said, it does not help when we confront people who are not ready, and it does not help to provoke conflicts in situations that are not helpful to our private life also. So many people need to wake up for themselves, and we can only pick them up at the bus stop. But they have to walk to the bus stop. They have to work a little bit. Yeah, they have to do a little bit beforehand. So we can meet them at platforms online when they have already, for instance, the non-vaccinated. We can find intersections with non-vaccinated people who have questioned the system already. So maybe you can try to change the subject a little bit if you're interested in getting someone into more deeply, or trying to find out what he's thinking about race, or just maybe making fun about all these Jews who have dozens of websites for themselves but do not consider themselves to be a race. So I think we should be very delicate and smooth, not provocative, and just build our network, trying to find people who think like us and prepare actually for the worst, because these times are hard, but I can imagine times are getting harder already, and people are getting prepared with homesteading and with trying to get independent for water and other resources. So, well, people are intelligent in this movement, and they are they can foresee things. They have foreseen already things that have happened, and we are
definitely. So, on the matter of people, normies, the general public. Would you say that they? This is a question that I find very interesting, and I don't know if there will be anything to say about it, really. But you've been at this for 5 years now with White Date. Would you say that people nowadays are less shocked by the idea of a white dating website, or more, or the same as they were in 2017?
Oh, certainly less, because women are flocking into our groups. And first, they were hesitant. But there have been women also saying things on TikTok. And these videos stayed up. They were not deleted. So there are traditional women, or women who are race aware, who say things that would have been just not heard of 5 years ago. Some women just say, we have been duped, we have been betrayed. This is all a scam to enslave us and to make us barren and to make us miserable and to turn us into sluts. So, women are waking up and teaching. They teach their sisters now to question this modern lifestyle that certainly has led a lot of women into total misery and solitude, and also childlessness, which is terrible for our race.
Huh? It's terrible. It's terrible for the individuals as well. I mean, it's one of the worst, one of the most depressing things, I think, is when a woman doesn't, when she realizes too late that this was the only thing she should have been, this is the thing she should have been prioritizing above everything else, and that she hasn't made it, and it's too late now. It's just heartbreaking.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Right. And also young women, I mean, it's not only because of the lifestyle, a lot of young women now infertile because of the pill, because of their lifestyle, of the food, because of all the toxins they have been exposed to, and they try to have children with 30 and it doesn't work anymore. So this is also where we try to come in with White Child, because there is a possibility to find donors, and I hope there will be more donors signing up, because this is just the beginning and not many people on White Child so far. But the idea is to help women who have problems conceiving, to find them a trustworthy donor. And same for men. Some men cannot procreate anymore. it's a medical tragedy.
I've heard that there is an assumption that men that time just doesn't matter for men, but I've heard that it actually does, in various ways. And there's also this drop off in testosterone levels.
Exactly.
Which is very concerning. And you would think it would be a huge news story and something that people would be getting very worked up about. But it isn't. Of course, we could talk about COVID. I don't know if that's relevant to this, strictly speaking. But one way or the other, people don't, or the establishment doesn't seem to be prioritizing the things that you would think it would be. And, you know, the idea that, well, the population aren't having many kids, so we'll just import millions of Africans. That's such an insane strategy. I don't know how this is going to be viewed in the future, that this era.
Yeah, but they do it on purpose, obviously, because there's no logic behind, except for the logic that they want to kill off white people or to mix them away. So it's quite obvious what they're trying to do. Oh, yes. And also the COVID, this pseudo vaccine, has certainly had an impact on not only fertility, but it led to a lot of miscarriages. You call it, yeah, miscarriages, and
yes, and
also
still,
deaths,
still, and stillbirth.
Stillborn, but also, which is even worse for the mother, death after 3 days or up to 2 weeks after birth. And just imagine a woman having carried a child for 9 months and has given birth and is so happy that everything worked out, and then the child dies after 3 days. I cannot imagine worse. This is so horrific what they have done to us. We should be really, really furious with this establishment.
I agree. And hopefully one day these people will be tried in court and things will be sorted out. And I think that's a sane thing to hope for. But with COVID is an issue in itself, and I don't know how much you want to go into that. I mean, that's something that's happened since you last appeared on Millennial. Do you want to talk about it, or do you want to focus on?
Well, it is an issue because it makes apparently this mRNA vaccine tampers with the genetics, which is obviously an issue for our lineages, for keeping our lineages healthy and pure. And so I don't know what exactly is happening on a genetic in the genetic field. I'm not competent in the matter, but I heard that genetics are corrupted, and a lot of people refuse to date a vaccinated man or woman. This is obviously also an issue for white dating.
Oh, yes.
This is why I added also the option, are you vaccinated, are you pro-vaccine, or have you been COVID vaccinated or not? People can add it, and they are very happy to get this information up front, because some are, did they just completely exclusive? They do not want to have anything to do with vaccinated, which I find a bit too harsh. But yes. There are also other solutions. There's also the solution of detoxing. There's this therapy called chelation therapy, chelation, chelation therapy. It's an extreme detox, and it goes behind the blood-brain barrier, I think, and grabs the heavy metals. And there are possibilities to maybe lighten the damage that has been done by the vaccine. But some people really had a very dangerous solutions, or how do you call it, dangerous jabs.
Remedies.
Yeah, well, the jabs, because the jabs are all different. Some were,
yes.
Yeah, and some were really deathly, and others were just salt water. There is this website, howbad.info, where you can check your badge number. I mean, not yours. I mean, certainly you're not vaccinated, but people can check their badge number and find out what diseases other people have displayed with this particular badge number.
Yes, yeah, the badges. It's. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if some of it was salt water. I have no idea about that. I don't know about that. But these. But clearly, the badges are important because. Some of them, I mean, I remember seeing, I think it was actually a Computing Forever video, I think it was, where he was talking about different batches and how a lot of the problems can be narrowed down to certain batch numbers. And I don't know, this seems like a faulty production standards. I don't know. But it's this is the kind of thing that the mainstream media should be investigating. And getting to the bottom of. And instead, it's down to amateurs and people without resources on the internet to do the work instead. I mean, it's just crazy. But I don't want to sound naive. I'm perfectly well aware we are living in a deeply corrupt world. And I think the migrant crisis in 2015 showed that. But COVID showed it as well in a completely different way. But go on.
No, the COVID in a way is, well, it has its good sides. Of course, it's terrible that people die and have horrific diseases. But some people who have had light symptoms, I just figured out this was not a good decision, and I was lied to. They wake up and they start to question other things, and they might end up in our camp. So also just in general, when you interact with people and you see intelligent, successful people who take the jab, and other people who are not that successful, but they have the backbone to to just resist. No matter what happens, even by losing their jobs. And you really figure out who is strong and stands for himself and who is weak and goes with the flow and is an opportunist. And this is, I think, it's interesting. I like to find out who is who in my environment. Most people took the jab. My whole family took the jab, by the way. And I was not invited at the Christmas party last year. So I'm the only one in my family.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But I'm invited this year. And I think most of them have already figured out that they're much sicker than before. So this year I'm invited.
So that they can pass it on to you. Well, that's the irony. No, I'm joking, obviously.
Okay, I didn't even think of that. Well, who knows?
I am glad that they've invited you this year, because that would have been a horrible thing last year.
It was horrible. No, I'm strong enough to just shake my head and say, "Oh my God, you will figure it out soon enough." Yeah, so I was not too disappointed.
Have they said to you, you were right?
No, of course not. They would never say that. Mm. Some members of my blood family, I'm talking about my blood family who share my genetics, because, actually they should be similar, shouldn't they? Well, I'm a total a génération spontanée, the French would say. I'm totally different. Doing completely the controversial things, and most of them don't know what I'm doing. Actually, only two members of my family know what I'm doing, and the other 35 don't. So, of course they don't admit that they have made a mistake.
See, what you just said there is interesting, because I'm the same. Most of the people I know in the movement are like this. They are the sort of odd one out in their family. Their relatives are all mainstream, politically center or not, you know, just average, normal. And then there's one person in the family. We have a phrase in English, the black sheep of the family. I don't know if there's an equivalent.
Same phrase in German.
Right. Mm. And I think this this seems to be a typical thing. And so, but what that means, though, is that we tend to, we know how to deal with normies. You know, we know how to deal with those people. They're not alien to us. They're not distant from us. They're all around us. They're our very relatives.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You know, it means that we're not separate species. But that is a thing. You know, with COVID, it's like they try to make us different species. You know, they try to really separate, create this divide between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated.
That was absolutely
kind of astonishing at the time, because that divide didn't exist a year earlier. And then suddenly the public is split in two.
Yep. And a lot of people I considered intelligent and just normal people, they really fell for these lies, and they parroted all these ridiculous lies that you need to be vaccinated to not be a danger. But then I asked, why, when you're vaccinated, then you're protected. Why should I be a danger?
Absolutely.
Ridiculous arguments.
That's what a vaccine is supposed to do, so that you don't have to worry about other people's status. Exactly. There were so many silly things like this and contradictions. And it always, I mean, I had a relative of mine say to me, you should get vaccinated. If you're not worried about COVID for yourself, you should be worried about it for other people. So that's why you should get vaccinated, for the sake of other people. And he was making me out to be, you know, selfish and irresponsible. But everyone, all of the relatives I know, and I'm not in touch with a lot of them nowadays, but the ones I know, all of them got vaccinated, and all of them have been more ill more times than I have. I mean, I had, after Millennial last year, I briefly had a sort of head cold, which was just probably, I was tired, I was worn down. This year, I had a fever just before Millennial. And that's it. That's the only two times I've been ill in the last 3 years.
Yeah, generally we notice that people are getting sicker and sicker. I'm everywhere. This has been quite openly discussed, actually. And people, well, I don't want to go too much into the subject. Actually, it is all over the planet. We have made these same experiences. We are the black sheep of the pro-white movement. who make the pro-white movement, actually, the black sheep of the normie families who make the pro-white movement. We just observe and shaking our heads up. People slowly, slowly wake up. And, well, why not? I mean, as I said, some understand now that it has been a mistake. They have taken the jab once or twice, and they would never take it again. And they become really angry, and just understand that this whole, the media and the whole political establishment are just a bunch of liars and cheaters and betrayers, and they just, yes, they should all hang on German oaks.
In Minecraft,
that easily, it's easier said than done. But
yes, I agree. The media should be absolute. I mean, I would hate I would hate myself if I were a journalist. You know, I think, and I said this the other day, I think that journalists are probably the worst people, the worst class of people in the world. And I thought that even before COVID, but you know, obviously after COVID it's even more the case. And I remember again 2015, I remember the BBC, the journalists were all raving about how wonderful it was that Germany was opening its borders to all these desperate refugees. Nobody none of them gave it any, there was no debate, you know, there was no consideration. Well, what about the logistics? What about the cultural impact? What about the wishes of German people? What about the economic impact? Nothing at all. And you think, well, what's the point of having a mainstream media then, or a media? What was the point?
Well, the point is propaganda, obviously, to make people believe that this is a good idea of flooding your country with foreigners who actually hate you.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of resentment. And Germany, that's, I mean, I remember in Germany in 2016, 17, so many young German women were getting raped, not just at Cologne on that night. It was going on all the time. And I'm sure it's still going on now. It's just that the media have stopped reporting it.
Yeah.
It must be going on still just as much. Why would it not be?
Yeah, no, this is why I do not consume mainstream media almost at all. I have stopped watching television 20 years ago. And sometimes when I come across someone who watches television, and I just wonder how they can do it. But they still believe in a lot of what comes out there, of this ridiculous tool. This propaganda tool. But of course, a lot of women have suffered from immigration, and the same for the Scandinavian countries. Women are raped every day. And these women, they wake up the hard way. They understand, oh, it's not such a good idea to maybe date a non-white, or it's not such a good idea to hang out with non-whites, or to even visit countries of non-Western. Some women make friends in Europe, and then they go visit some men in Pakistan, and they wonder why they get gang raped there. So women are extremely, extremely naive. Some women. I remember these two Scandinavian women going to
Morocco.
I don't want to go.
That was absolutely.
They got absolutely beheaded. With the backpack and raped and beheaded, or beheaded and raped, or whatever. It's just horrible.
Horrendous.
Just imagine being the father of one of these women. I mean, what a feeling of failure. What a loser he must have been. He did not stop his daughter to take a flight to a...
I know that one of the fathers did try to stop his daughter he tried to dissuade her. He tried to say, look, this is not a good idea for you to go to my... And of course, she just thought that he was being racist, so or stupid or whatever. So she went. And it was that was one of the worst things, one of the most awful stories I've ever heard. But as you say, there is a thing about young white women that they are so completely naive about men, about the way that, and specifically foreign men. I think that they, and it's programmed into them. They're encouraged to think that brown and black men are just sort of cuddly teddy bears. And they want to believe that. This is such an awful betrayal. I mean, I think that white societies should see young white women as people that you've got to save from themselves. You've got to save them from their naivety, from their well-meaning attitude, and also the vanity, because a lot of this is vanity. It's I'm a good person. I'm better than the people who don't think we should go to Morocco. Again, same thing. You need to save young people from their ego, their vanity, as much.
Yeah, or certainly that there's a video coming to my mind of a white, beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed woman going to India and taking selfies with all these Indians who just around her, trying to take photographs of her, trying to touch her hair, and she's, this is complete vanity. She obviously is of a superior race, that all the Indians want. They are lusting after this woman because she is so fair-skinned and so light-eyed, and this is something that is extremely valuable in India, and they make it very clear also in dating announcements in the newspapers that they want to have a fair-skinned wife. This fair skin means a higher caste, because the highest caste at the time of the Indo-Europeans were the whites, and then
It seems to be universal. It seems to be universal that white, blonde, blue-eyed, just wherever, everywhere in the world seems to see that as the apex. Now, I'm not saying that white people are innately superior and this superior race or whatever, but but I'm just saying this seems to be what everyone else secretly thinks.
No, but I don't want to say
openly.
Yeah, thinks. Don't misunderstand. I don't say we are superior. No, she is. These non-whites are lusting after white women more than they lust. They always try to upgrade them towards a whiter and more Nordic-looking woman. This Absolutely. Is already, you can already see that in Southern Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you meet rich people in Southern Europe, I can assure you they have blonde, blue-eyed women.
And I remember one of the things about Epstein that came out was that he specifically said he wanted Nordic-looking girls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disgusting. It's just
because this is their enemy. This is Amalek. We are Amalek.
Mm. Well,
so they need to destroy the most noble, the purest, the most beautiful. They want to destroy and they enjoy it.
Yeah, there definitely is an element of revenge there and hatred. I do think so. I mean, why else would you want to mass rape and cheapen the girls of an ethnic group? It's just awful. And it's something that we should be very aware of. And I think that naturally we would be very aware of. I mean, everyone, I'm sure every guy knows, like every white guy, I'm sure he knows, yeah, black men and brown men want white women. It's just so self-evident and so obvious, and it makes so much sense. I'd be amazed if every guy doesn't understand this just innately. It's so obvious. And of course, it plays out in real life. I mean,
well, in real life, it plays out also for women who are not that successful with white men. But when they're obese or not so pretty, for a black man or a brown man, they are still exceptional. Yeah, they're still wonderful. And they obviously thrive on the compliments and on this desire they feel. They also need this. Women want acknowledgement. They want to feel wanted.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely, this is something that we need to bear in mind. It should have always been obvious. I mean, you know, black footballers, what do? They get a white wife because they're rich now. So that's what they do. And same with rap stars and whatever. It just seems to happen again and again and again. This is a precious thing, and we should be looking after it. And I really do feel sorry for that father. I think it was the girls were Danish, and one of them was Danish and one of them was Norwegian, if I recall correctly. Might have been Swedish and Danish.
Yeah, Swedish and Norwegian, maybe. I don't remember, but...
Yeah, so, but, yeah. I mean, it certainly wouldn't make any difference to the Moroccans. No. I was going to say, I really feel sorry for her father because, well, at least he did try. You know, imagine for him if he hadn't even tried to dissuade her. My God. That was a terrible thing. But let's get back to more positive matters because, and this is a thing, right? I'm not just saying this. I think that white date is an example of something that is simply a positive because it has survived. It's been going for 5 years now. It's still going now. And from what you say, it's still going strong. And I really think that you should be proud of this. I say that in all earnestness. I think this is a really good thing that you've created.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot, certainly. I would like to develop much, much further, much more. I would like more people to know about it, but advertisement, you know, is forbidden for pro-white business. So I will try Twitter now again. because maybe something has changed, but I'm not very optimistic about Twitter.
No, so neither am I, unfortunately. No.
But I will still try it. I have to. But I was also surprised that that Gab did not accept my advertisement.
Oh.
Gab didn't? No. They had a film.
Right. You know what it would be if you'd said Christian Deed.
And yeah, exactly.
Christian but deal. And yeah,
race blind Christian date. Then they would put it to the first page.
Yes, yeah, I think they would. But who knows? I mean, Torba has got more and more based in his rhetoric. I think he has genuinely become more and more based as the years have passed. And I have heard him explicitly talking about race, explicitly saying, you know, that. There is an attack on white people. It's just that he usually frames it as an attack on Christian people, but I think that's silly, and he must know it's silly. I mean, nobody cares about you know, black Christians in Africa or whatever. No one is trying to.
As long as they're Christian, I mean, the hundreds and millions of Africans can come in, and it doesn't matter if they don't know what a toothbrush is.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So they're totally compatible because they also believe in Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, it would be interesting to see Gab if it were programmed only by African Christian programmers. I think it wouldn't be quite as functional. I mean, so what I want to get to is, let's talk about, we've talked about white date. Let's talk now about white deal, just so that people get that clear in their heads, so what that is for and what they can do there. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, basically it is all very small so far. It's in the kindergarten stage. All right? So it's not. There are several hundred people who have signed up, and some people have used it. But the white deal had a real pushback because you were down by the American server web hosting pad. And which was weird. For several years, it worked perfectly well. And then once I added white child on the same server just to have a place to start and to continue development or to start the launch, this server downed both sites, child and deal. And then they didn't give a real explanation. They said it's a technical problem. Technical problem, excuse me? The both sites are down. What kind of technical problem is there? So, and we uploaded them on some other sites and it worked perfectly well as on another server. So back to web hosting pad, and they couldn't explain. I gave them several weeks actually to explain themselves before I really understood they are anti-white, and they do not want these sites to be hosted on their server. So they did not give me back my money. So I had to relocate these sites to a different server. It's now in a non-white country. Yeah, you need to really. I'm actually the site is made by Indians, and it is hosted also on Indian servers and also other servers that are outside of European Union, because they do not trust the white countries anymore and their servers. Isn't that strange?
That is crazy. What was the host called in America?
Web hosting pad.
Right.
So I do not recommend.
Right, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's probably useful for people to know that, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a danger because I don't like, you know, because my website could get taken down.
Sure.
And that would be annoying. But so I don't want to talk about, you know, my host, but it's a mainstream company. It's not GoDaddy. Because they took down several websites a few years ago.
So we have refuge places. There are servers, and then we will exchange. And I will. You can give me a call, and I tell you where to paste your website. So there's always a solution.
There is. I mean, there was a period when everyone was getting really worried, especially after the Daily Stormer was taken down, and then. I think it was the altright.com website was taken down as well. And people were saying, we're going to need our own domain registrar, as well as our own server company. We're going to need everything.
Yes.
And we probably, I don't know, maybe we still will need all of that. But for now, the censorship does seem to have, and when I say censorship, I mean everything, deplatforming, deregistering domain names, all of that. It does seem to have calmed down compared to 2018, 2019. I'd say 2019 was probably the worst, the sort of epicenter of all this. When people, I mean, I remember YouTube channels were just disappearing, and there'd be a purge every few months, and 10 channels would be gone, and it was awful. And eventually, I just came to terms with it. Okay, there will be eventually. This is just going to happen. I am going to, like, my channel's going to be shut down. That's it. Just accept it. And that was good. You know, that was the stress sort of dissipated after that, after I accepted it's just inevitable. And then a year later, it did happen. But this is all sort of historical now. I mean, talking of censorship, again, everything was changed with COVID. That was a new era then. But as I was saying, it does seem that the censorship has calmed down, but I guess it's moved. I mean, I know that the Daily Stormer are still getting screwed over all the time, getting moved around different domain names and so on. But you know, there are channels on YouTube. There are quite a lot of channels that are still there, and I don't think they will get purged at this point. I think that if you've made it this far, you're probably okay. I mean, I fingers crossed for those people. But Twitter is weird because, as you said, you know, Musk has taken it over, and there are actually people who have been freshly banned, like, for the first time since Musk took over.
So, from the pro-white movement?
Yeah, like Greg Johnson lost his personal account, and he that had survived everything, the Jack Dorsey, the Vijaya era, it had survived. And then it got shut down. And there was another one, I think Andrew Torba's Twitter was shut down as well. And I've heard of others, but they're not coming to mind now. So the point is that censorship on Twitter clearly is not over. It's just, I don't know, it's got a new label on it now.
I need to place an ad just to test the field. Because people expect it, and I also want to know, well, how they react. If it's still blocked, or if they give me an opportunity to place a banner for the white people, white date, white deal, white child. I don't think I make it so obvious. Maybe the claim would be a bit smoother, a bit less direct, less obvious, pro-white. Yeah, but I'm not even sure I will get the opportunity to place actually an ad, but I will try. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just responding to someone in the live chat. Well, so white deal is for, to get back to that, to wrap that one up, that's for products, services that people can offer each other. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So it's always about creating communities. NetWhite Date is not only for the dating between two people. It's also about creating offline communities. White Deal is about finding people with competencies you can trust. Right now, as there are not so many members who have signed up, it's rather about online services than offline. The whole structure is also works for offline services as well, obviously. But right now, it's rather about online services. And I would really like to get more people on, more customers and providers on board, especially customers who need someone, because once you you post a task and you say, I need a web designer, or I need someone who does an editor for an audio recording, or a business plan, or English classes, or whatever tutorials and classes you can offer online. Then post a task and we will try to help you promote this task and to find a freelancer to deliver the service. So both sides I need is customers who post tasks and freelancers who actually have real competencies, who are white, obviously, and who also want to escape the rat race. Just imagine if people would use White Deal. I mean, hundreds and thousands of people would use White Deal, and we would have an online white space with only people aware, people working with each other. So we would, I don't know, it would create a real loyal community. And the payments go to people you want to encourage, you want to support. And you work for clients you actually like.
Okay. Yeah. And so that is a platform that could be very useful to people. So
I think so. I would just like more people to know about it and to sign up. And yeah, that is the problem, that I cannot just add in a Google advertisement or Facebook advertisement. Facebook would be very helpful. I think it would help. It would boom this site right away, both sides, State and Deal. And with Child, I don't know, people wouldn't maybe understand right away what it is about, because it's a bit niche, how do you say?
People say that differently. I've always said niche, but apparently Americans say niche.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it is special.
Let's get to that now then. And the website is it online, or did you say?
Oh, White Child is online. First, people have signed up. There are some in demand of donation, and some offer donations. Some men who offer sperm donation, and women who offer egg donation. And just knowing about the prices, who have totally exploded after COVID. I mean, there are people who said white sperm is the new Bitcoin, because unvaccinated sperm is in extreme demand. Right. Vaccinated sperm by medical centers and apparently is not considered as valuable as unvaccinated sperm. So these old banks that still sell from, they have tripled their prices. I did some research there, and it's unbelievable, the price explosion in sperm. So yeah, there is something about this vaccination and unvaccination status.
It's incredible that this has happened. We don't need to get back into the matter of COVID, but this is amazing that we're speaking in these terms.
Yeah, for reproduction medicine, it is of importance if someone has been vaccinated, certainly. And when you purchase sperm, when you purchase, just imagine you would try to find a surrogate mother. That's also a possibility. And would you pay 30,000 or 40,000 euro for a woman who has been vaccinated?
Well, I get the point. It's something that people are going to have feelings about, definitely.
Yeah. And an egg donor who has been vaccinated. The thing is that during the fertilization process, I think there is a natural selection also happening, because not fit oocytes would probably not get fertilized, or not unfit sperm. So in vitro, I can imagine there is a natural selection process in place, which, but I don't have the data. So I don't know whom to ask. I would like to speak to people who work in reproduction medicine and who can tell me how it has changed since COVID and how the market has changed. So I would really like to speak to people who are either geneticists or doctors working in IVF treatment. But are they listening right now?
Yes, indeed. I wonder. See, I suspect this is something that's going to develop over the next few years. I don't know how long. I can't give a time frame, but I think that over the next few years, this is really going to emerge as a scandal. And I think they'll desperately try to stop it, but I suspect it will be unstoppable. Because still now people are dropping dead. It's not happening quite as much as it was 6 months ago, but it's still very much a thing. Pretty much once a week, some famous celebrity dies young in their 20s or 30s or 40s. And it shouldn't be happening. I mean, it's bizarre. It's not normal. And I think that, as you say, and then on top of that, there are the stillbirths and women's menstrual cycles. And I imagine difficulty conceiving as well. I remember hearing that this was predicted. I remember hearing that, that they'd worked out that the vaccine targets what is called the gonads, the ovaries in women, the testicles in men. And that was being said a long time ago now. I mean, but before the vaccine was really given to everybody.
In the very beginning, I remember a German doctor also saying that this vaccine targets reproduction organs, and do not be surprised when you do not conceive or when you lose your child during pregnancy. So this all happened. I mean, the statistics are. These death rates are through the roof. So yes, it is a tragedy happening for many people, and we need to find solutions. We are white and creative, and we have built. I mean, our men have built castles and written symphonies. So obviously, we will find a solution to this problem as well. So and this the solution, in my opinion, is to focus on the uncorrupted genetics that we have left and to reproduce with what we've got.
Yes. Yes, I agree. So that brings us to the white child then. And you've said I did actually look at it before we went on air, but I thought you said that it was being launched. That was why I asked you if it was
ready. Launched. Yeah, it is in the process of, it is functional. We actually took the structure of white data and adapted it. It is functional, everything works, but there are not many people on white child. I mean, I remember having zero members on white date. That was in 2017. And then the first member signed up, and I was all excited. And then I had 200 and 400 in the first 1,000. And now on my child, I'm at a dozen of members. This is not much. So it's not well known, and it's new, and people are hesitant. And for many people, reproduction medicine is a taboo. They do not want to get into this subject, because I think it is tampering with nature. But we have been tampered with. We have been attacked from the medical side. So we need to now repair what can be repaired.
Yes, yes, I agree. So white child is for people to find donors for egg donors and sperm donors so that they can have children.
Yes. And also surrogate mothers, and also adoption. I'm thinking about the adoption possibilities for white children from South Africa. I'm actually thinking myself. I would like these there are so many white children living in terrible conditions, in danger also. And obviously, a parent never wants to abandon his child. But when it is a question of life and death, and when life gets too dangerous, like it is now in South Africa, then why not give it to a family in Europe or in the United States, or where, to an area where it can grow up safely?
I mean, the issue with South Africa is complicated, because these people are very attached to that land. And for you and me, I think we're very attached to our respective countries. We're very attached to the land. And that goes back thousands of years.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of surprising, for me at least. I would think, okay, South Africa, you've tamed this land, you've cultivated this land is yours. I understand you're attached to it, but this is not a good situation. And so it surprises me that more of them aren't trying to move to Europe. But I guess,
well, actually, they are not accepted. Because they're white.
This is
what people need to understand. Non-whites are allowed. They are supported by the European Union to enter. They are pampered here, where they get everything. I don't want to become vulgar now. I need to find a good formulation here. But they get pampered. White South Africans, I've never heard of a white South African who has been accepted for asylum or as a refugee.
No, we don't even think of white people as refugees. That those two things don't go together in people's minds, I think, which is ironic, because the whole refugee thing was supposed to be for European refugees at the end of World War II. That, as far as I know, that was when the UN Charter was created. But in this day and age, even with Ukraine, you know, when we say we're going to get a bunch of Ukrainian refugees and they all show up and they're black,
with a Ukrainian passport, they cannot speak a word of Ukrainian.
Yeah, I know, but nobody's even surprised by that, because it makes sense. Well, of course they're black, they're refugees. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But of course they have no attachment to Ukraine. Of course they don't. Everyone, and as I said, everyone knows this and everyone expects it. Morgoth did a good, he came up with a sort of law that wherever there is trouble in the world, the refugees will be black. They will not be white. The refugees fleeing this problem, they will always turn out to be non-white. And it is true. We've seen it with the Ukraine war, especially. It's just absurd. I remember seeing rivers of people coming into Poland. And it was Hungary from Ukraine, and they were all brown and black.
Not all Ukrainians.
I know there are genuine ones.
Have I'm saying white Ukrainians, but they have some of them have strong Slavic.
Yeah.
I mean, they are rather Slavic than Germanic, but they're clearly white and are beautiful women and beautiful. They're good looking families. I mean, some are quite normal, intelligent Europeans, I would say. But what is shocking is that they get much more money than people who have contributed to the social systems for decades. And they get more money than, for instance, a retired woman who has born three children. So they just arrived, they get money like this, and it is a lot of money for them. In Ukraine, I think for a startup, for a student to start work, they would make $300 per month, and now they get 1,000 just in their hands, and I've never seen so much money in their lives. And they really wonder why Germany is so unbelievably generous to them. I mean, they take it, obviously, and they don't complain. I wouldn't.
No, no, no. I'm sure the Germans are wondering why Germany is so generous to
these people
as well.
Yes, a lot of people know, and they wonder, but then you have this party theater going on that the so-called right-wing party that never touches the issue on race and never touches the issue on the JQ, obviously, pretend that it is horrendous, that it's unjust, that Ukrainians are just given a lot of money without ever having contributed, and why. So they divide also. It is a divide and conquer tactic, not only within Germans, but also between the white Ukrainians coming into Germany that we are supposed to dislike because they get pampered by our traitorous government. Obviously, our anger should be directed towards the so-called government, which is also actually a firm conglomerate. I mean, I don't know how much you are familiar with the commerce movement, and that we these are all firms. They have all numbers and Dun & Bradstreet. Dun & Bradstreet is a big firm platform for 400 million registered firms worldwide, and you can find firms like Bundestag or Bundesrepublik Deutschland or Land Niedersachsen or Republik Française. You can find these firms, these state pretending firms at Dun & Bradstreet. They have all in number. They're all profit oriented corporations, and they manage, well, the cattle, their assets, let's say, their assets.
Right. Yeah, there's a similar thing in Britain called Serco, which manages, it gets rooms for refugees to live in. It actually pays the rent. Again, Morgoth did a really good, fantastic video about this about a month ago. And it's just unbelievable. I don't know where the money's coming from. It's like our countries are being destroyed in the most efficient way that it's amazing. It's
just amazing. I heard that they open an account and it goes to the Federal Reserve, but now I'm not completely sure, but I heard in this commerce movement, and what is actually what the Ukrainians get is only 5% of what the social security companies receive. But who receive 95%? What they are they create a liquidity. How do you say that? They create liquidity, but based on the collateral of the person. Collateral. This is the estimation of the value of what is behind the one person or pro rata. Yeah, the part of the everything that is owned by a group.
Yes.
The Ukrainians have a huge collateral because they are the corn chamber of Europe. They have fantastic land for agriculture, so they have a very high collateral. And I think they are creating liquidity like this, but they are also absorbing the collateral, which nobody talks about. This is the commerce movement is something I'm very interested in right now. A lot of people trying to escape the system or emancipate from the system in Germany and also elsewhere. But there's, I cannot recommend anything for the English-speaking community because this is something here in Germany going on. And people manage to get rid of tax payments, they get rid of all kinds of obligations of these so-called state institutions because they understand that these state institutions are actually corporations and they do not have a contract, have not never entered willingly and knowingly a contract as a human.
No, so the whole infrastructure has been created without the public's knowledge, that all these NGOs, the corporations, the lobby groups in league with the governments, which are being controlled, and it's all being controlled by globalist institutions I mean, all of the. I was talking to Garrod Murphy last night, who's an Irish activist, and he described it all, and it was just astonishing. You know, the public in each European country have no idea of what is going on, and the apparatus, the infrastructure that has been created to make this stuff go on, to make this stuff happen. Our countries are being surgically altered, you know. It's amazing, really. But again, all of this is, I think, dependent on the economy being a certain way, and there being enough money sloshing around to finance this stuff.
Well, what I suggest always is to look into the solutions to emancipate, to distance ourselves from the system, not only to avoid taxes, but by very friendly offering other means of payment, because there are other means of payment. I mean, we can create a bank note by signing a piece of money, like a dollar. You can create a real banknote with value that is backed up with your value of your collateral. And these things exist. People do that. They do accept for value. They do these things. This would explode this interview, obviously. But people can research the keywords and find people who have already done it and learn. So it's happening. And the other thing I would suggest is to build your local network of pro-white people, of awakened people, to work together in real life, to support each other, and also, to get through these hard times together, and try to build a healthy family on the way, which is extremely difficult nowadays in this world gone mad. To build a normal, healthy family is, it's extraordinary. It's very tough. It's extraordinary. It's heroic.
A lot tougher than it should be. That's for sure. Okay, well, is there anything else that you would like to say about White Date, White Deal, or White Child before we go to the questions?
There are a lot of things to be said, but no, I think we've done a good tour, and I would like people to also check out the group and forum section which is free to use on my date, and to just to be able to talk freely about certain subjects, the subjects we are interested in, and because this is a safe space for white people. We do not have many safe spaces. I'm proud to have offered this safe place where we can openly talk about our pride, our rights that we have, our right to live, our right for racial exclusivity that we should defend. And these subjects are not very welcome in the normie world. So on White Date you can talk openly. This is a good thing. And if someone wants to donate, there's a possibility to become a member for a lifetime membership. We offer lifetime membership. And there's also a possibility to donate using crypto, maybe, if someone feels like it and has a lot of funds at hand and doesn't know what to do with it. We always need support, and especially after this year, which was tough, because, of course, we sensed that the economy was lower than usual. So we're trying to survive. And
it's important that you do. That was going to be my next question. How can people help you with these websites, which I think are a crucial resource for our community? So how can people help you to keep them going?
Well, as I said, either through a lifetime membership or a crypto donation, and it is on the menu, you find a page for donations and partnerships. So it's quite open. And yes, of course, there are members who pay regularly, but it is next year. I think I would like to invest in my time in other things. I didn't have much time at hand this year because, you know, family, you know, health issues. I have a lot of plans, and I like to make videos, by the way. I enjoyed very much making this video for Kindred Creators. There was a competition going on, and I liked to make this video. I got help from an editor from the United States. His name is Wolverine. And this video can be watched at Kindred Creators' YouTube channel. And the topic was, what is anti-white? And I made this video actually in a state of total sickness. I was not well, but we managed to get it done on time, and we made second place. It was very good. We made a second prize. So it is a video that has informed and touched several thousand people, and I would like your audience to maybe take a look at it.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'll see if I can I'll track it down and add the link in the description.
That'll be nice.
Okay, well, excellent. There are a few questions for you, so I'll go through those quickly, and we'll see. Okay, Remnant Posting says, Christian, I think this must have been about Andrew Torba, Christians delude themselves when they ignore the reality of nation and ethno-culture. Many Christian ethnic communities the world over can speak to the folly of ignoring the differences between people.
Nation used to be a racial construct, and today nation is used as race-blind territory, like the American nation. Every Asian, Black and Jew is also part of the American nation. This was not initially the significance of or the meaning of nation. A nation was a synonym of race, basically. This is why I do not use the nation, because people have so different understandings of this term. I use my people, the white people, and the white race, to be very clear. And so I don't know if this answers the question.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. My awesome channel says, Liv should create a channel on Odyssey. The good thing about Odyssey and Library is that no one can explicitly ban your channel. I'm not sure if that's quite true. I think no one can ban it on Library, LBRY, but I think they can shut down a channel on Odyssey, because Odyssey is an interface to the Library, whatever it's called, database. But nonetheless, they're very... they don't ban a lot of channels, so at least not so far. So I would echo that. I think that would probably be a good idea for you in terms of advertising. I think it would probably help you quite a lot with this project.
I have this channel on BitChute, and there are dozens of videos on this channel, but I haven't been making many videos except for this one video I just talked about for Kindred Creators, but I could create an Odyssey channel just to upload copies of what I have on BitChute. I'm not such a big content creator like you all.
No.
I do not create regularly in masses, and so I thought maybe of creating some short videos for TikTok, and I started with two videos. Maybe this is a guerrilla marketing tactic to explore, because we need to be we need to think guerrilla, right? If we do not have the normal advertising opportunities like all the other non-white businesses. So we need to think a bit guerrilla strategy. I'm exploring ideas.
Yes. Okay. Ritkali says, I wonder if there is some, this is about COVID, I wonder if there is some unnecessary hysteria about the vaccines. An NRA vaccine reverse transcribing into sex cell DNA seems a bit unlikely to me. If you survive the vaccine, you and your genes are probably just fine. I guess what he's saying is that the vaccine probably doesn't alter your DNA. I don't know about that.
I don't know either. And as I said, many of these jabs were harmless, and others were deadly. So it was Russian roulette people were playing unknowingly.
Yes.
So some got really affected, and some are just fine. Again, there's this website, you can check your badge number on howbad.info. Maybe if he'll find out, something, if he's, or he can investigate someone else's badge number if he's interested in. It is obviously, I can understand a man and a woman, they fall in love, and then they figure out, oh, actually he's taken or she has taken the vaccine, and what's going on? Should we just take the chance? Yeah, and I would say, yes, why not? I mean, but I would do, if this is my personal opinion, if someone has found a partner, always go for your intuition and for the partnership. But if the person seems to be healthy, I would still recommend a detox therapy, a chelation therapy, which needs to be done by someone who knows his way, because the chelation cannot, this is an infusion actually, but you can only take one drop per second. If it runs too fast, then you get really sick. So it has to go through the body very, very slowly. And chelation, you can Google chelation therapy. There's also the cell symbiosis therapy by Dr. Kramer, which I recommend because I have been sick this year and I had been getting infusions, and I really recommend cell symbiosis therapy that was invented by a white man, Dr. Kramer, and that manages to rebuild the mitochondria in the cell structure. So whenever someone has taken the jab and feels unhealthy, well, do these two therapies and find out for yourself if it helps. It should. It's detox. So I recommend this. I've experienced it. I've made it myself. It's not cheap, but it's useful.
Okay. All right. That's worth bearing in mind. Chief Noticer says, young white women are naive due to the relative safety of the societies we have built that they grew up in. This leads them to be woefully ill-prepared for the reality of the rest of the world. Definitely. And this is very true of Northwest Europe, and especially the Scandinavian countries. I mean,
This is by design. This is by design. They have never been prepared for aggression coming from non-white groups. Then nobody told them. The media never told them. The Hollywood movies always tell them that the brown men are, or black men are, the greatest and the most wonderful men. So they have been swimming in an ocean of lies. How would they know? What we need to do, and what is happening already in this TikTok movement of awakened white women who actually have the courage to speak out about these issues. And I can only hope that their videos become viral and wake up more women. So they take self-defense classes and they try to not associate with non-whites and to always find white men to protect them wherever they go.
Yeah.
They need to become aware, race aware.
They do. In a multicultural environment, you absolutely do have to be racially aware. I mean, that's just a fact. And I think a lot of people are. The issue, and this is what the person alluded to, is that people are actively propagandized not to be racially aware, especially white women. And it sort of matches with a certain tendency in white that I think is innate to white women, which is this desire to a liberal tendency, for want of a better word. It's there. It was dormant. It was kept under control by society. But in our age, it is encouraged. And they are encouraged to think that everyone's the same. All groups are the same. We should give and give and give to the vulnerable, the needy, and let the outsider in and all of that stuff. I mean, you know, I remember saying about those two poor girls who went to Morocco, they should have been helping homeless people in Norway. They should have been helping out in a soup kitchen. They should have been helping needy children or whatever in Denmark.
No, white people in Denmark, they should be helping whites.
Absolutely. There was no need, if they wanted to feel good about themselves, if they wanted to help the needy or whatever, there was no need for them to venture to Morocco. There was no need for them to leave Europe. There was no need for them to leave Scandinavia. Yeah. There are white people. I mean, I see just now, you know, where I am, there are homeless people who are white. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to get through this winter.
There's so many white women who've wasted their youth traveling, globetrotting, seeing lots of places and never really making it to a stable relationship because they thought they were free. It was always suggested that this is a kind of achievement, having traveled. It's no achievement. It's entering a plane and just arriving at a different country because a pilot managed to get this plane up and down. It's not an achievement. And walking around taking pictures in front of mountains is not an achievement. What is an achievement for women as well as men is to actually stay in your local area where God wanted you to live. You were born at some place for a reason, and to connect with your ancestors if you can, and to build for the future, to reconnect with your roots, to develop the fruit, like this image of the tree of the tree of life.
Yes,
because if you do not have roots, then you cannot create fruit either. It's all connected.
Absolutely. You know, the past points towards the future, and the future without the past is a frighteningly empty thing and uninviting. So, okay.
This is success for me. Yeah? And this is what we need to teach the young, that this is success, and that they need to become racially aware and prepared for even harsher times, and that they we expect of them to live a heroic existence. We want them to live in heroic existence. This is what we expect. So they better start moving because we need them.
Yes, I agree. There's one last super chat. The Thin Round Line says, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Keep up the good work, White Date." And that's certainly a sentiment I think we would all agree with.
Thank you.
And I did want to end by saying thank you for all of your work and what you've done.
Yeah, I'm trying. It could be all better and bigger and more successful so far, but I do what I can. And so far, we still survive and we're still there, and we continue.
All right. If people do have crypto that they can spare, please send it to White Date at the URL that I pasted earlier. Here it is again. Because I really do think this is something that people should give towards to help it keep going. So Liv from White Date, White Deal and White Child, thank you for what you've done. Good luck with it in the future. And thank you for appearing on Millennial 8.
Thank you so much, Rose, for having me. And again, thank you so much. And I wish you a lovely Christmas and Yule time.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And I wish you the same. I'll be back in 15 minutes with the Woodlander. But in the meantime, bye-bye for now.
We hope you're enjoying Millennial. The show must go on, but it needs your help. Sometimes the old ways are the best. To send Millennial Woes some special Yuletide cheer by post, you can use the P.O. Box. Address on screen now. Millennial amounts to 3 months of work for the vile blogger. Please help him continue. Until next time, enjoy the show and spread the word.